Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to start a new series of messages today entitled Capacity. If you've ever read the label on a lot of the products that we have today or that we buy, you'll find that the manufacturer will put the label on the side of something and it'll have all kinds of information on it. And one of those things that it usually will have is the capacity or the maximum that that particular container will hold. You know, like a gallon jug will hold a gallon of liquid. You can pour 2 gallons into it, but guess what'll happen? After you get the first gallon in that jug, the second gallon is going to be all over the floor because its maximum capacity is 1 gallon. Did you know that you and I come with a measurable capacity? We have a certain amount in and of ourselves of capacity, whether it's to receive something or whether it's to give something. It's a measurable capacity. But the cool thing about it is, unlike that jug, we have the ability to increase in capacity. And that's an awesome thing. You say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, if you evaluate or you look over your lives, are you maybe just a little bit more patient today than you were 5 years ago? Hope so. Somebody said, yeah, that's right. You know, are you a little bit more secure in your relationships today than maybe you were 5, 10 years ago? Are you a little bit more at ease maybe to give today than you were maybe 5, 10 years ago? You know, if you said yes to any of those things, the reason is because you grew in that area in your life. Or in other words, your capacity in that area increased. That's the goal. We want to increase in our lives. We want to grow in those areas of our lives. And so now, if your answer was no, well, don't fret, because we're going to talk over the next few weeks about some truths in Scripture that will help us to increase our capacity. I believe that's God's will. His will is for us to grow, right? Amen. We see it all through Scripture. It's for us to grow in patience, maybe to be a better dad or a better mom, to have more love and to show more love, to be a better witness for Christ and so on. That's the idea, is that today we're a little more mature, if you will, in the things of Christ than we were yesterday. And so when we look back over, we can actually see growth. And it's because of our ability to increase in capacity. And so that's where we're headed with this. So as we kind of get started today, I want us to be aware of, there's 2 foundational truths that as we go through the day to day, we're just living life, I want us, if we can, to be aware of these 2 things. First of all, in Christ, there's always more. We say that a lot around here because it's true. In Christ, there's always going to be more. In our relationship with Him, there's always going to be a little bit more knowledge than we currently have. There's always going to be more blessing than maybe we're currently experiencing. There's always going to be more power than we're currently using, and so on and so on. And so in Christ, there's always going to be more. We need to always be mindful of that. That'll help you to not be stagnant or to settle for some things that maybe you settled for such a long time because you just thought, this is just going to be my lot in life. In Christ, there's more. Amen. Amen. And so secondly, here's the truth that we want to make sure that we are always mindful of. In life, there's always going to be resistance, pushback, things that will try to stop the flow, things that will try to quench the Holy Spirit in your life. If you understand quench, it simply means that will try to push Him out of your life, try to stop what He's trying to do in your life, and try to decrease your capacity. If allowed, those things in life will restrict our knowledge of Him, our blessing and power and so on. And so that's what we don't want to do, right? Amen. We want to increase. And so God himself has established some safeguards, if you will, in our lives that will help us to continue to grow in him, or to continue to make sure that we're flexible so that our capacity can increase. We're going to talk specifically about three of them. Amen. Faith, hope, and love. Now, if you recall back in Corinthians, Paul was writing about the gifts, these wonderful gifts that the Lord has given to the church today. And in the midst of that, he says, of all of these gifts, he said, there's going to be three that remain. It's faith, hope, and love, meaning that they're eternally foundational to our lives in Christ and our ability to work for him. And so in 1 Thessalonians, Paul, he's writing to the church there in Thessalonica that he had established on a missionary journey. While he was there, he would go into the synagogues and he would teach about Jesus. And there was a lot of converts, both Jew and Gentile, that give their hearts and lives to Christ. But also, he was facing deep persecution. Great persecution while he was there. So much so that the Bible says that Paul had to leave. And so what happened was, when Paul left, unfortunately, the persecution remained. And they kept pushing against and fighting against the church that he had established while he was there. As a matter of fact, it was so bad that Paul was so concerned about it that he sent Timothy back to this church just to see how they were doing and to encourage them. And so Timothy had gone and he had seen everything that was going on. So when he came back to Paul, the report that he gave was amazing. He said, you know what? In spite of severe pushback, persecution, suffering, the church there is thriving. So Paul is rejoicing and he's writing this letter back to them in response to the report that he has heard. And not only is it thriving, but the Bible says that their testimony was spreading throughout the land. And so he says in verse 3, I'm in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, number one, your labor prompted by love, number two, and number three, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So their capacity for increase was directly affected by faith, hope, and love. And so we're going to look at faith today. I want to start out by looking at faith. And we're going to do so from this perspective, faith in action. Now, faith is simple. It's just trusting or putting your confidence in someone or in something. Whether we realize it or not, we live by faith all the time. Whether you're a sinner, whether you're a saint, you live by faith. Today, there's going to be, if not thousands, millions of people that are going to go to lunch, and they're going to do so, and that whole experience is going to be based on faith. By faith, they're going to sit down in a chair and place their full confidence in that chair that it's going to support their weight. Not even going to think a thing about it. They're going to just walk in, pull that chair out, and they're going to sit right down. They're going to drink from a glass and eat from a plate, and they're going to actually place a fork in their mouth, putting their full confidence that the dishwasher has done what they're supposed to do. Because 15 minutes ago, someone else did the very same thing with that very same fork. By faith, they're going to eat food that's brought to them. And they're going to, just with confidence or with faith, they're going to believe that everyone between the farmer and their plate did exactly what they were supposed to with that food. When it's all said and done, you're going to give your credit card to a complete stranger that you probably don't know from Adam. They're going to go over to a corner that you can't even see, and they're going to run that credit card, and you're going to have complete faith and confidence that they're going to do it with integrity. Yes. By faith, after it's all said and done, they'll jump in their cars. And they'll put complete trust in a manufacturer that they've never met before as they step on the gas and pull out in front of 20 cars coming at them at 60 miles an hour. And trust everything works. And when they come to the light and there's 50 cars stopped in front of them, they're going to push on the brake, trusting that that brake is going to work and that car is going to stop. You see, we live by faith. We could go on and on and on about the things that we put our trust in, our confidence in. It's called faith. We live by it every day. And here's the deal. We live by it because we were created this way. We were created or hardwired, if you will, to live by faith. And not just faith in things and people, but we were created to have faith in God. Bottom line, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 said that God has dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. And that's how we are to live our lives. That faith was given to us so that we could have a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And we could live out our lives for Jesus and for the kingdom of God. In other words, we were given faith to believe in God and His word and to act upon that. In other words, faith in action. So what does that look like? Well, our faith in Jesus Christ should reflect what we say and what we do. As Christians, we should talk different. We should talk different. Psalm 37 and 30 says this, "The mouth of the righteous man speaks wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just." Here's why. The Bible says, "Because the law of his God is in his heart." As we're studying and as we're taking in the truths of God's word and spending time with Him, what happens is that the Holy Spirit will begin to open up and to help us to increase our capacity to be able to understand and operate in the things of God. How does that happen? He does so by pushing out doubt. Doubt takes a lot of room in your heart. He does so by pushing out fear. You know, if you're not careful, fear can take up a lot of real estate in your heart. Hurt can take a lot of real estate up in your heart. So much so that you won't allow anything to come in that would possibly hurt you or that you're afraid of or that you're unsure about. And you'll live in a very sheltered area. But what the Holy Spirit will do as the truth of God's word comes in, it's just like we was talking about before. We're talking about safety. We're not going to live in fear, but we're going to walk by faith. We're going to operate by faith because we know that when God is watching over us, that no weapon formed against us prospers. We understand that. How did that happen? That happened by the revelation of God's word by the Holy Spirit, which pushed out fear and replaced it with faith, increasing our capacity of our heart to receive not only that truth, but more as well. And as that grows, it not only fills us, but it prepares us and it helps us to understand more. And so because we speak there again from the abundance of our heart, and because that our heart is now full of God's word, we begin to speak the truths of God's word. We begin to speak those things out. And you know what? More times than not, it's going to be a lot different than people that are around us and what they're speaking. See, as a child of God, we're supposed to talk different. And so somebody may be worried about things that are going on in their body. And they say, you know what? I'm sick. And I'll be honest with you, man, I'm just not sure if I'm going to make it this time. But you all of a sudden, you may not be feeling well in your body or whatever. But here's what you're saying. You're saying, well, you know, I may not be feeling well, but in Christ, I know I'm healed. You know, somebody may have lost their job or things aren't going well financially. And so they say, you know, I'm just not sure how we're going to make it. You may be in the same situation. But what comes out of your mouth as a child of God, you know that God supplies all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And so you don't fret about it and you don't worry about it. You just keep going. And you say with your mouth what the Bible says about your situation. Faith. We're supposed to be talking different than other people. Have you ever come across somebody whose child is not saved and they're out playing the fool and they're going down the wrong road and they're so concerned about it and they're just wondering, is it ever going to work out? And they're just so upset and anxious about it. But then you get the child of God, who their child is doing the same thing. But they're saying, you know what? We raised them the best that we could. And we know the promise of the Lord is that one day when they get old, they'll not depart from it. But they'll be close and they'll be saved. And we're believing God for them. Times may be tough, but we're going to make it. How is it that that happens? There was a day when you used to chime right in. Oh, I know it. Man, this thing isn't, I'll tell you what, I don't know if we're going to make it. But you see, now as a child of God, those things don't make sense because now you have the truth of God in your heart. So it's contrary to the truth. So you begin to speak different. And it's not that we're denying our current condition. You know, I've seen people and they're all discombobulated with the cold. Stuff's running everywhere. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get gross because we're going to go eat lunch at the restaurant in a little while, right? But I mean, things are going everywhere. Stuff's happening all over the place and they're sneezing and so on. They say, I don't have a cold in Jesus' name. Yes, you do. Some people kind of get it a little bit backwards. When you speak the reality of your situation, it's not a lack of faith. But what you need to do is just don't stay there. Say, but my God is my healer. And I believe I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're not denying our current condition. It's just that we understand that there's a truth that supersedes my circumstances. That truth is God's word. I may not be experiencing it right now in my life, but that doesn't negate the fact that it's true. And one day I will. He'll bring me to it. Bless the Lord. That's why Paul was able to say in 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we're hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. He said, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. I may be struck down, but I'm not destroyed, baby. So I'm going to press on. How is he able to say that? He was being able to say that because of the deposit that the Holy Spirit had placed in his heart and increased his capacity to believe. So he was talking different than those round about him. That's all we need to do, is we need to speak the word of God by faith in spite of our circumstances. But also, we're supposed to walk different. A vital aspect of faith in God is walking that faith out. What do I mean by that? Turn with me, if you will, to James chapter 2. He just explains it so beautifully and makes it so plain. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? And then he gives us an example of faith without works, or in other words, faith without walking it out. He says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you comes along and says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you don't give them the things which they're needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If the battery in your car is dead, guess what? It's not going to start your car, and you're not going to get where you need to be. Faith without works or without corresponding action, he says, is dead. It's destitute of force and power, and it's not going to get us where we need to be in Christ. It's not going to accomplish what he's called us to accomplish because it's dead. Paul said that as Christians, we're to walk or we're to live out our lives by faith and not by what we see. Right. How do we do that? James goes on. Look at what he says in verse 18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. You show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, you'll be able to tell what I believe by what I do. Basically, what he's telling them, I'll put my money where my mouth is. I'm not just going to talk about it. I'm going to show you what I believe by what I do. I'm not just going to say I believe in healing, but I'll show you by laying hands on the sick and praying for healing. I'm not just going to tell you that I believe in Jesus, but I'm going to show you that I believe in him by giving my life to him and walking out my life for him. there's a big difference between talking about it and doing about it. Amen. Here's the deal. You can say that you believe in that Jesus heals and that he delivers and that he saves. But until you're willing to be that tangible presence of God's love in the earth, to share the gospel, to be the one that prays for the sick, to be the one that delivers the captives. Unfortunately, up to that point, it's just talk and it's not going to be effective in the earth. John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to Jesus to ask him this question: are you the Messiah? Are you the one we're looking for, or should we look for another? And Jesus gave him this simple response. He said, you go back to John and you tell him what I'm doing. The blind are receiving their sight, and the lame are walking, and the lepers are being cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are being raised, and the poor is having their gospel preached to them. He said, you go back and tell them what you're seeing and what you're hearing. This is what I'm doing, not just talking about it. The woman with the issue of blood, she knew in her heart that Jesus could heal her. And when she placed action with that faith, guess what happened? She pressed through the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. She received her healing. The blind man, he knew Jesus could heal him. He'd heard that he had been doing it all along. And so when he heard Jesus was going by, he shouted out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. They tried to shut him up and they said, oh, he's busy. Keep going. You just be quiet. But he shouted the more louder. Why? Because he believed God would do it. So he put action to the best of his ability. And guess what happened? Jesus came to him and he gave him his sight. I got a question for you today. What are you believing God for? Maybe you're believing for something that's really big in your life, a financial breakthrough, or maybe there's something in your body that you're believing God to heal, or an emotional healing, or maybe your child is lost. Maybe you need a new job or a healing in your marriage. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, we could go on and on and on. Whatever the case is, it's a big thing in your life. And you believe that God can do it. But here's the tough question. Are your actions corresponding with your faith, with your belief, with what you know God can do? You see, it's easy to see when someone is in faith and what they're putting their faith in. All you got to do is listen to what they're saying and watch what they're doing, because your works directly reflect your faith. Our goal is to increase capacity. It's to increase God's flow into our lives and through our lives so that we can be more effective for the kingdom of God in our families. One of the greatest things you can do is be the best dad you can possibly be. Be the best mom that you can possibly be. When you act out those things, you're increasing your effectiveness for the kingdom of God. And faith is the foundational key. Here's why, because faith is believing beyond me and my ability. And that's what it takes to accomplish God's will. Did you know that God does not create plans that don't need faith? The things he's called you to do, you're going to need him, period. So I would encourage you this week to make it a regular part of your day-to-day life and really examine what you're saying and what you're doing. The Bible in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says this: test and evaluate yourselves just to see if you're in the faith. Is what you're saying lining up with what you're believing? Is what you're doing aligning with what you're believing? And are those aligning themselves with God's word? Because that's the vital key. If you're honestly not sure if I'm in the faith of this particular subject, then I would encourage you, dig into God's word. Find out what he says about it. Find out what he says about finances in your life, relationships in your life, emotions in your life. Find out some of those things, some of those big areas. What does the word say about what I'm facing? And then begin to align yourself with that. And if you're still not sure, find a godly man or a godly woman who you know is strong in faith and in the word of God, and just go up and ask them, hey, can I ask you something? And begin to ask them about some certain things. And I guarantee that they'll pour the word of God into your life. what'll happen? That'll begin to push out those things that you're unsure about on that situation. When you allow the Word of God to come in and begin to rearrange your thinking and push some of those things out, you'll begin to say what you need to say. You'll begin to do what you need to do. And it's going to happen when you allow God's Word to begin to increase your capacity. When it's all said and done, it'll increase your effectiveness in the kingdom of God, in your family. I don't know what happened to Dad, but boy, I sure like it. He ain't as grumpy as he used to be. Man, I don't know, but Mom's macaroni and cheese is sure tasting a lot better today than it ever has. Listen, as you allow your speech and your actions to align with God's Word, the supernatural will take place. And He'll take you places you never imagined you'd go. You'll say things to people you never imagined you'd ever have the courage to say. And do the things you never imagined you'd ever do, because you have the truth in your heart and it's changing things.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.